Welcome to the CLUIN webinar, Area-Wide Planning, Coordination Opportunities, sponsored by EPA's Office of Brownfields and Land Revitalization. I'm Mike Adam from EPA's Office of Superfund Remediation and Technology Innovation, and I'll be moderating today's call. Before I turn things over to our introductory speaker for today's seminar, there are a few logistics, and you can find them on slide 2. Please mute your phone lines during the seminar to minimize disruption and background noise. If you do not have a mute button, you may press star 6 to mute and pound 6 to unmute your lines at any time. Also, please do not put this call on hold, as this may bring unwanted background music over the lines and interrupt the seminar. You should note that throughout the seminar, we will ask for your feedback. You do not need to wait for Q&A breaks to ask questions or provide comments. To provide comments or questions and report technical problems, you may use the question mark icon at the top of your screen. You may move forward or backward in the slides by using the single arrow buttons as described and shown on slide 2. The button with the house icon will take you back to the main seminar page, which just also displays the agenda, the speaker information, the links to additional resources, and a feedback form. The button with the computer disk can also be used to download and save today's presentation and materials. We also have provided on the last slide links to resources and the feedback form. Once again, please make sure you have muted your phone. You may use star 6 to mute your phone if it does not have a mute function. And with that, I will turn over the presentation to today's presenters. Rachel?
Thank you, Michael. Today we're going to try and give a more in-depth overview of the Department of Transportation programs that are possibly applicable to area-wide planning. And you can use these resources as you go forward with your planning. We want to help you create a viable implementation plan, and then as you go forward, actually implementing your plan. These slides do not represent all of the funding and technical assistance available from the Department of Transportation, but it's a starting point for you to consider new partnerships and coordination opportunities. And if you need any additional information, Amy and I will be more than happy to put you in contact with the appropriate person. And with that, I will turn it over to Charlie.
So hello, everybody. This is Charlie Bartsch. I'm Senior Advisor for Economic Development in ASWER, and I'm really pleased to be working with the Brownfield Office on this webinar series. I think it's certainly our feeling that the area-wide planning efforts succeed when you really are able to pull together a whole range of different resources from a bunch of partners, including several federal agencies. And so I think it's been our goal with this webinar series is to kind of, you know, go through some of the potentially key partner agencies one by one and kind of lay out some of the resources that they have. And we're really pleased today to be able to look at resources available through the Department of Transportation, as Rachel said. Now, I appreciate the help of our partners at DOT, and I want to introduce two people who are on the call who will be available to answer questions and add additional information. The first one is Connie Hill from the Federal Highway Administration. Connie, if you'd like to say hello.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me.
And I believe are you at headquarters?
I work for headquarters, but I'm located in the Virginia Division office down in Richmond. So that's why things look a little bit strange for me as far as my contact information goes. But I do work for headquarters, Office of Natural Environment, and I'm a part of the Sustainable Transport and Climate Change team.
Great. Thank you. And our other DOT colleague is Lily Shoup from the Federal Transit Administration. Lily, would you like to add to your intro?
Sure, actually. Lily, and I'm actually with the Secretary's office in the Office of Policy. And I'm happy to be here. Thanks.
Thank you. One of the great advantages that we've had working with DOT as part of the sustainability partnership is we've really had a chance to really meet and kind of you get a better understanding of how these resources work through some of the regional offices as well. And I know that Connie and Lily will be happy as the area-wide planning projects unfold and there's some opportunities come up to help us try to get you all in touch with the right persons in your regions to kind of talk through some project opportunities. Now, if you want to go to slide 3, trying to get to myself here. Slide 3 should be the one what this webinar will cover. And really what we want to do is provide some information and ideas on several areas of DOT programs, the surface transportation programs, the transit construction operations grant, and then talk for a little bit about the Metropolitan Planning Organization grants that can be helpful for additional planning resources. So let's kind of get right into this and go to the next slide, which is number 4. I just want to start off by saying that transportation resources can be deployed to play a critical role in implementing site revitalization strategies, and obviously that depends on the community's goal for what they want to use the site for and how, you know, a transportation-related piece fits into that overall strategy. And, you know, without getting into a lot of specifics, I mean, you know, I know that the area-wide planning grantees in places like Atlanta and Kalispell and Ransom, West Virginia, and Cleveland are proposing to look at areas and do things that may have a potential transportation connection to them. So I think it's important to kind of, you know, just kind of point out, you know, conceptually what some of these links might be. I want to start off by saying that, you know, it was at a Brownfield Federal Partner meeting in March of 2009 that folks from DOT headquarters reaffirmed the agency's basic Brownfield policy. And that is that, you know, it's sort of to kind of put it sort of in layman's language, if you're planning a transportation project of any type and the location that really is best suited for that project, you know, the road site, the bus barn, you know, whatever it might be, if the site that's best suited for that activity happens to be on a contaminated property, well, then the transportation funding can be used to help with cleanup at those sites that are integral to transportation system development, you know, installations or upgrades. So it's an important thing to keep in mind, you know, as you are doing your planning and as you are reaching out to your state DOTs and local transit agencies to work with them on these kinds of projects. And I think one of the things we've certainly seen from the brownfields and revitalization side of this equation is that when you're, you know, looking at how transportation can fit into any kind of a brownfield project, you know, activity, and certainly including some of those that the area-wide planning grantees have pinpointed, but, you know, the DOT highway and transit construction and modernization and other programs can support these kinds of revitalizations really in 3 ways, and we've seen these in case studies from different places around the country. They can help upgrade existing facilities for new uses. They can offer the transportation amenities that are really critical to enhancing values at these sites and areas, improving access to an area, and improving the marketability of specific sites. And I think one of the things that's actually been very interesting, and I think from a sort of a economics and financial standpoint, I think very practical, is the fact that sometimes the transportation money can fund facilities and structures that actually serve as part of the pollution solution, as part of the cleanup plan. You know, you can use roadways as caps. You know, you can use bus barns or maintenance facilities as caps, and you can reuse the building. So there's a number of interesting possibilities here that can play out. You'll want to go next to slide 6 because slide 5 was somehow a duplication of slide 4. So if we go to slide 6, you know, just to kind of get at what these ideas mean for you potentially in practice, you know, in your brownfield area-wide, you know, planning, is that this means that if you're thinking about projects that might entail, you know, traffic flow improvements or bus or rail system modernization or rehabilitation activities or building transit facilities, you know, passenger station, passenger stations or waiting areas or pedestrian or bicycle facilities, or if you even want to do things like some, historic preservation of an old train station, if you want to preserve an abandoned rail corridor for a trail or other new use, or even if you want to do some forms of planning, you can really think about how your transportation partners can fit into this. And I think just in general from an area-wide planning potential, I mean, it really is there for the creative integration of a range of transportation-related projects into your area-wide revitalization efforts. Thinking how you can sort of dissect your larger plan and look to those components that might fit one of these activities, which would then allow you to potentially tap transportation dollars to help do that. So, Connie or Lily, do you want to add anything? Okay.
No, I don't think so. I guess I think just to reiterate what you're saying, Charlie, is that what we and Federal Highway just would like to encourage people to use transportation to support the brownfield development activities and to use the brownfield activities to support the transportation planning elements as well.
That's actually an excellent point because it really does work. It really can work both ways. And, as folks are developing their area-wide planning strategies, they should really think about, sort of the optimum fit with a local transportation strategy. If that means, if the community is thinking about, where they're going to make certain types of transportation investments, where they're going to locate certain kinds of facilities, it really is an excellent opportunity to kind of dovetail that planning and really get a lot of positive impact for both areas out of this. If we want to shift, I think it's slide 8, I'm going to just shift into some of the specific DOT programs that might be most helpful. One of the big one, and I think all of our programs at EPA pale in comparison to what's available through the Surface Transportation Program Formula Grants, or this is also known in transportation jargon as the STP program. I mean, there's a lot of flexibility here. They can be used by the states and localities for projects on, federal aid highways, including the national highway system. And I think the most common types of activities that are done under NHS because I'm old, I think it used to be called the 4R program, but I think it's evolved since then. But, construction and reconstruction and rehabilitation, resurfacing, restoration, a range of highway infrastructure improvements, things like hazard eliminations. And I think Connie made such a good point a minute ago. I mean, a lot of these activities can be used to enhance access to these brownfield sites so that they can really be, used to, make these sites more valuable and more attractive for reuse. In addition to the National Highway System, the STP can be used for bridge projects on any public road. It supports transit capital projects and public bus terminals and facilities, and those of the area-wide planning grantees and other brownfield communities are looking for, alternatives, to highways. They're looking for alternatives to encourage infill and reuse. I mean, this program can really be, effectively dovetailed with what you want to do. Now, if I'm correct, Connie, this program has an 80% federal share, which means there's a 20%, non-federal match required. And I think one of the things that we found, in some areas that your local challenge may really be working with, your state DOTs, your local transit agencies, your, metropolitan planning organization decision makers, working with them to get what you would like to do into the plans and really to convince them that these things really do fit together and, serve the transportation mission as well as the brownfield mission. If we go to the next slide, slide 9, to continue on, with the discussion of the STP grant, in practice, what this means in terms of using these grants, well, again, the capital funding can be used for, public transportation capital improvements, things like car and van pool projects, fringe and corridor parking facilities, which may, be very useful to serve, you know, more central city located, you know, commercial and office, bicycle and pedestrian facilities, you know, intercity or intracity bus terminals and bus facilities. And I guess with this range of activities that are out there, I think the challenge and the opportunity for the area-wide planning grantees is to think about how these types of activities can be integrated into the strategy that they would like to pursue, and how they can be integrated into their implementation approach for what they'd like to do. You know, like I said, you know, some of these activities could be very helpful to provide infrastructure and amenities and support dollars for, you know, office or commercial reuse, for example. And if, and these things can, and the formula, the STP grants can also be very valuable in the context of planning activities, you know, surface transportation planning activities, of course, but also things like planning for wetland mitigation, you know, basic transit research and development, which might be needed as you're focusing on some of the transit-oriented development and things like that. And also environmental analysis is an eligible activity. And actually, while I've got Connie and Lily on the line, I'd actually like to ask a question at this point. I mean, I am assuming from my read of the program statute and rules that when you're talking about environmental analysis, that if you needed to do a site assessment on a property that you had identified for a transportation use, say for a, you know, a transit facility or, you know, whatever it might be, a rest stop or whatever, if you needed to do a site assessment to figure out how to reuse it for the transportation purpose, that the transportation money could pay for that site assessment as part of the development of the site?
Lily, do you want me to take that or did you want to?
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, you're right, Charlie. The thing to keep in mind as far as the federal aid highway program goes is that federal aid funds may be used for a number of things concerning a transportation project that impacts a brownfield or somehow comes near or in the general vicinity of a brownfield, uses the brownfield. The funds may be used for things like cleanup, analyses, you know, site assessments and that kind of thing, as Charlie said. And the key piece though is that the project has if the project is eligible for federal aid funds, then our funds may be used for those purposes. And the use of those, whether or not a project is eligible, depends upon how it goes through the transportation planning process. So
right.
it has to be a part of a state's or an agency's transportation planning process and have gone through that in order to be eligible for a federal aid fund.
Great, thanks. And I think the reason I asked that question to get the clarification is that in a lot of areas, I mean, the site assessment dollars are one of the hardest sets of dollars to get for a project. So the extent to which, you know, they were looking at a property that also fit the criteria that you just laid out, it could be a way of sort of really kind of, you know, identify another source of funding to help, you know, deal with that assessment cost. And I guess that's why I wanted to raise that question. There's a couple of other programs which are not on the slides, but I just want to run through them very quickly. And again, we can get you more information on them. But that might also be useful in some specific cases by some of the, you know, area-wide planning grantees. I mean, just want to run through a couple of them quickly. You know, the Safe Routes to School program, that's about $180 million nationally, apportioned to states by formula for infrastructure projects related to enhancing safe routes to school. And again, the extent to which, you know, sidewalk improvements near schools, pedestrian and bike crossings, things like this are a part of what you want to do, it might be a source of resources for you to do implementation. The Recreational Trails Program provides, I think last year was about $80 million to the states, as, you know, overall to develop and maintain recreational trails and trail-related facilities or maintain and restore existing trails. I know a number of the planning grantees are focusing on recreation and open space. This might be something for them to think about depending on, you know, whether or not, you know, they're reclaiming an old transportation right away or something like that. The Appalachian Development Highway Program, we have a couple of grantees in the Appalachian region. The Appalachian Regional Commission provides last year about $470 million nationally to 13 Appalachian states. You know, for highways, and this is an interesting, the goal of their highway program is to promote economic development opportunities. That could be a nice dovetail. The Congestion Mitigation Air Quality Improvement Program, and either Connie or Lily, you might want to add to this, but I know the focus of that is on non-attainment areas, but there's a lot of options for what communities can do to focus on, you know, coming into attainment compliance using this program. You know, things like transportation control, promoting telework, alternative fueling projects, you know, such as, I think, you know, electric charging stations, you know, some types of planning like NEPA studies. So there's a number of things that can be done through the CMAC program. And I guess the last one I want to...
Actually, the CMAC program funds more transit projects than the service transportation program does.
Okay.
So it's often used for that. So you can use it for like bus shelters and buying new low emission buses and things like that as well.
That's great. Thank you. And I guess that's the last one I want to mention quickly is the Local Technical Assistance Program, or LTAP. This focuses primarily on training and technical assistance services to rural and small city and tribal governments, just to help them get a better understanding about issues related to roads and bridges and public transportation. I think some of the technical assistance activities under LTAP can include some planning and some, you know, links to new technologies. So for some of our smaller area-wide grantees, it might be a way in which they can reach out and I guess help basically provide basic information and some outreach and education to their local city councils or county commissions or you know, others that would be in a position to influence some of these transportation projects that have an impact on brownfield area-wide planning. So, again, just a technical assistance resource out there, because I know capacity and access to TA is such a key issue in a lot of small communities. So, anyway, we'll get back to kind of the slide program here. If we want to just go on to the next one, which I think is slide 10, just looking at the surface transportation program.
Hey, Charlie?
Yeah.
I had a question that came in through the through online here.
Sure.
And the question is about how the funds may be awarded. And I think this goes back to a couple minutes ago when you were talking about the SCPs program. So the question is, may these funds be awarded directly to the location, or must they be routed through the state first? Who gets the award of the grant?
The majority of the programs that Charlie went over are administered by the state Department of Transportation. The Surface Transportation Program, a portion of it goes directly to MPOs, to metropolitan planning organizations, for projects in urbanized areas. Transit programs, which we'll get to in a bit, work a little differently, but for all of the programs that Charlie's gone over so far, it is through the state. And the projects themselves, as Connie mentioned, have to be on the state transportation plan.
Right. Which is, I mean, and really to emphasize that again, that is such a key piece of this, because you really need to work through that process to get in queue for this assistance. And I think both Connie and Lily would agree that, you know, it certainly would be, I think, an important use of an area-wide grantee's time to really reach out to the right person at the state DOT or the right state agency and really develop a good working relationship with that person, explain what you want to do, and really reach out to them so that, you know, that they can become your ally in some of this.
Right. State DOTs are sort of constantly adding and removing projects and have to publish a list of projects every year. And so yeah, it's not something that you need to wait for, but it's definitely a longer process to get through. So starting early is important.
Yeah, really being proactive, I think that's really key. Okay, just to kind of get back, and I think we're on slide 10, the formula grants, things to consider. Now, I think the figure that I saw is that in 2010, not counting stimulus, it was about $33 billion was distributed through these various STP programs. And as Lily mentioned, I mean, you know, the funding, a lot of the funding for that we've talked about so far goes to the states. You know, obviously then the states distributed to localities for use, you know, according to the project plan. There is a 20% match for most of these. And in terms of the funding, once the funds are distributed, you know, to the states and they start making their, you know, sub-allocation decisions, they need to set aside 10% of their funds for safety construction activities. They need to set aside 10% for transportation enhancements. And those enhancements can really encompass a broad range of environmentally related activities or activities that would be useful in a brownfield revitalization context. Things like, you know, acquisition of scenic easements, landscaping, preservation of abandoned rail corridors, conversion of those corridors. And I think one of the things that a number of our grantees are really looking to address is the environmental mitigation, you know, to address water pollution, you know, linked to highways and other transportation facilities. So there's some really valuable activities that can be done, you know, through the enhancement piece of this, and communities should think about that. And actually, Connie or Lily, if our grantees wanted to get a handle, I did not have a chance to track this down, but there must be some place easily on DOT's website. If I was sitting in Kalispell, Montana, and I wanted to know how much money the state of Montana got and where it was going, so that I could think about my next steps, there must be an easy site website location that people could look for those amounts.
Well, Charlie, you would think such things would be very easy now.
Well, you're telling me my quick search that didn't turn one up was
yeah, I
was
well,
hoping it would
know.
Be a bad search.
No, it's not easily determined, and because our funds can be spent over the course of many years, it's a difficult. I would say that's probably not the best way to go at finding out what your state has available. I would say the best way is to definitely contact your state Department of Transportation and work with them to define the scope of your project, and then they'll be able to find which program it fits best with.
All the more reason to have that relationship.
Exactly. But I did want to say, going back to transportation enhancements, that this is a really valuable program for the brownfields community, because it does have such expanded eligibilities to historic preservation and corridors, and really fits well with the geography that you're looking at. And the National Transportation Enhancement Clearinghouse, it's enhancements.org, has a whole wealth of knowledge, project examples, best practices, state profiles that would be helpful. So I highly recommend that site.
Thank you. That's an excellent suggestion. And just kind of to start wrapping up on the STP part of this, on the additional things to consider with respect to the funding, you know, the funds are distributed to states and they're sub-allocated, and, you know, amongst various population program categories within a state. You know, some funds are made available to metropolitan planning areas containing urbanized areas over 200,000. You know, there are some set-asides for under 2,000, set-asides for under 50,000. So there's a range of approaches within which the funds are allocated by the states for projects. And I think, you know, Lily's advice just to contact your state and kind of, you know, lay out your own scenario and really start that discussion is probably, you know, probably one of the best pieces of advice we can offer up today. I think, again, you know, the challenge will be, you know, educating those decision makers, you know, persuading them that what you want to do fits and reminding them of, you know, how the DOT policy has been laid out and are some of the important things. And again, to reiterate what Rachel said at the beginning, that, you know, we certainly are, certainly willing and able to help with any of those conversations in terms of providing information that might be helpful to you. If we want to just go to the next slide, which will turn us to transit programs. Actually, before I just have turned to transit programs on the slide, I know that Connie, I should mention, was really gracious to be on the call today because she had a commitment, an internal office commitment that she's basically doing this on her break. So I appreciate that. Does anybody have any questions for Connie? Because I know that we're running close to when you need to get back to your session.
Right.
So if anybody has any questions, and Michael, if anybody just types one in, if you want to just pass that along.
Well, we'll do.
Okay.
Well, thank you for remembering that, Charlie. And basically, I just wanted to say that the things that Lily said and that you've also addressed are really important, and that is for people to remember that you really do need to have that really good relationship at the state DOT level and with your at the local level as well, because that's kind of where the conversation starts. We don't have, as an agency, we don't declare any particular site a brownfield site. That happens at the local and the state level. And ideas about what to do with those sites are also begin at that level. But we really want to encourage everybody to be creative and really think of ways of how transportation projects can be of help in revitalizing those sites and helping to further along the transportation plans for a given community.
Okay. Thank you, Patty. I think we want to have that put on a sign and framed and give it to all of our... Thank you.
All right. Well, if there aren't any more questions for me, I'd like to jump off now so I can get back to this other activity. But, please feel free to give my contact information to anyone who may have a question about that or any other that would need more assistance as far as brownfields go, and I'd be happy to talk with them or maybe direct them to the persons in their states who might be of assistance to them.
Connie, we really appreciate that offer. Thank you very much.
Thank you all. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Hey. Okay, and that actually is a good segue. We'll turn now to the transit, and I'm pleased that Lily will be able to stay on for the rest of the call to answer questions and add additional information. But just turning to the transit program, I first, before I get into some of the specifics, just want to give a quick overview of the Federal Transit Administration, just sort of a quick step back. I mean, its mission and purpose is really to encourage the planning and establishment of area-wide public transportation and transit systems that are needed for economical and desirable urban development. This comes right from their mission statement, and it fits so well with the concepts and the ideas and themes that so many of the area-wide planning grantees are striving for. And the FTA also provides financial assistance to states and local governments to support the development of public transportation systems. You know, in terms of FTA funding, it's about $10 billion a year directly to local transit agencies and state governments. And, you know, Lily, if you want to elaborate on how that flow works, I mean, sort of in response to the earlier question on highways, that'd be great. I guess I just mentioned first that what the FTA funding does is it funds transit capital and maintenance, and it's a local transit agency that helps with some, if I got this correctly, it also helps provide some funding to support operations. Most of the programs are funded from the mass transit accounts from the Highway Trust Fund, and many of them are formula-based programs, although the New Starts is a discretionary program. Lily, do you want to add anything to that before we turn to some of the specific programs?
No, I guess I just contrast by saying with the highway funds, they flow to the State Department of Transportation, and then, like I said, a little bit go to the Metropolitan Planning Organizations. Transit funds go from the federal government to transit operators. in urban areas, and then to the state in outside urban areas. And the majority of those funds in urban areas are for capital projects. And in rural areas, there's a little more flexibility to do fund operations as well.
Okay. Great. Actually, I think that is an important distinction because, you know, at least in the metro areas, I mean, it is one step closer to home, if you will, in terms of some of the decision making and some of the, you know, the allocation decisions. So, anyway, looking at the first program we want to talk about, the Transit Construction and Operations Grant. You know, the bus and bus facilities grants, and in DOT lingo, this is known as the 5309 bus program. It provides capital. Did I get that right, Lily?
Oh, you did. It's just such a funny name.
it provides capital assistance for new and replacement buses and related equipment and bus facilities, and it can also do things like, you know, help with the development of park and ride facilities, you know, bus stations and terminals. So especially in the case of the latter, if that kind of a transit facility, you know, may occupy a place in your reuse strategy, it's important to know that those grants are out there and can help get those facilities put into place. There's also a bus testing facility program dealing with, you know, reliability and safety and fuel economy. And these are, if I recall right, these are discretionary funds, and a lot of these are earmarked. Is that correct?
That's true. With the extension of the CR up through the end of the fiscal year, they were not earmarked. And so I think that that might be changing in going forward.
That's actually, because you actually just have answered a question I was going to ask when I was doing my research for this. So it may be possible that this might once again become more competitive.
True.
And which,
that's definitely something that the department is looking to try and do as much as possible.
Right, which would be great in the context of some of our grantees who I think they've already proved how adept they are at winning a competitive process, and maybe they could apply that knowledge to this.
Correct.
Moving on to the next slide, which I lost my number here. I think we're on slide 13?
Yes.
Thank you. Just some of the things to consider, as Lily said, you know, how the funding goes. Some of the sub-recipients, you know, public agencies, private companies engaged in public transportation, and private nonprofit organizations. Well, a number of these potential sub-recipients in many communities have also been very good brownfield partners. And again, they may be reaching out to if this kind of activity fits within your plan. Going to slide 14, you know, looking at some other things to consider with respect to bus and bus facilities grants, you know, some of the eligible activities which can really fit within, you know, some types of the area-wide planning revitalization strategies that we've seen, articulated. They're going to purchasing buses for fleet and service expansion, you know, transfer facilities, transportation centers. You can see these on the slide, park and ride, you know, passenger amenities such as bus shelters. There's a number of things that these might fit into in some cases. You know, moving on to the next slide, slide 15, the Transit Construction and Operations Grant. You know, shifting into sort of the new starts and small starts. These are programs that I'm not sure how extensive the link will be with the area-wide planning grantees, but certainly in a larger context of communities promoting brownfield reuse and land revitalization and vacant property reclamation, you know, these are the kinds of programs that can be very helpful. I think going back to the point that Connie made, you know, a little while ago about how do you integrate, you know, brownfield and reuse with transportation. Well, this could provide an interesting way to think about that integration. The New Starts provides resources for construction of new fixed guideway systems or extensions to existing systems. And, you know, by definition, the fixed guideway includes things like heavy rail, commuter rail, you know, light rail, monorail, trolleys, ferries, you know, bus service operated on an exclusive, bus lane, things like this. these kinds of things in some cases may be very, very useful strategies to think about. Going on to slide 16, the major capital investments in these, the small starts provide funds to capital projects that either meet the definition of the fixed guideway for at least half their length in the peak period, or corridor-based bus projects with a 10-minute peak and 50-minute off-peak headways. Bus systems that operate very frequently. The extent to which these kinds of systems can enhance access to, area-wide strategies that may, and I know several of the grantees are looking to, revitalize, sort of declining industrial areas and try to attract new green manufacturing, things like this, the extent to which, these kinds of transit services can help promote that, this might be a tool to explore. So we wanted to get this out there for you. Again, going on to slide 17, just things to consider. This is discretionary funding. Lily, I believe this is very, very competitive funding. In terms of the eligibility, a range of public bodies and, transit agencies, other entities are eligible for this, to pursue the small start, the new and start and small start funding. Moving on to slide 18, things to consider, the kinds of activities, pretty much any kind of public or mass transit that you would like to consider for your site, you can likely fit into the eligible activities under this program. So it's an important thing to think about if this is what you'd like to do as part of your area-wide planning implementation strategy. I also want to mention a program that we didn't have on the slide, but I wanted to mention, and that's the Fixed Guideway Modernization Program. Basically, that supports reinvestment needs of existing systems. I know a number of our grantees are from older cities with older systems in place, and the Fixed Guideway Modernization Program might be a tool for them to think about, again, depending on their strategy for their site reuse. Lily, did you want to add anything to the New Starts, Small Starts discussion?
No, I guess it's important to note that the New Starts funding is extremely competitive and is used to fund major new transit systems. Congress has to approve every transit system that's eligible for that funding. If your city's not already in the sort of New Starts pipeline, then it's definitely something that's going to be a larger planning effort than a brownfields, a local planning effort. The Small Starts funding is a little different. Funds smaller projects that might be more applicable for like a light rail or a streetcar or smaller things. So as we said, to work with the state DOTs for the highway funding, you're contacting your transit agency is probably the first step if you're interested in these programs.
It sounds like then the Small Starts is really probably for what our grantees would like to do in the time frame that they're doing it. The Small Starts sounds like that might be a better fit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Great. We can move on to slide 19. I just want to mention two transit construction and operations grants programs. The first one we're going to focus on the smaller cities first. That's the formula grants for other than urbanized areas. And in DOT lingo, that is the Section 5311 program. It's formula-based, provides funding to states for the purpose of supporting public transportation in rural areas with less than 50,000 people. It can be used, I think, Lily, you had mentioned this earlier, this one can be fairly, there's more flexibility in this one in the sense it can be used, I think, more broadly to provide access to individuals who live in rural areas and need transportation access, shopping and key services like medical and to jobs. And
yes.
Things like this. Okay.
Yes.
And I know a couple of our grantees clearly fit this bill in terms of population size. Just moving on to the next slide 20. In terms of eligible activities, you know, for the 5311 program can be used for capital or operating, administrative expenses, you know, operating costs of equipment and facilities for use in public transportation, acquisition of those services, including service agreements with private providers of public transportation services. So it could really be a way, again, you know, if some of our smaller town grantees, I mean, if a real issue is sort of, you know, lack of transit access to, you know, a new job, you know, job-generating facility that's going in, I mean, something like this might provide a way to help deal with that. Going on to slide 21, you know, eligibility, there's a range of eligibility, you know, things to think about. You know, a state or a tribe gets its grant directly from the federal government. The subrecipients may be state or local authorities, nonprofits, or the operators. And I think this is in statute, if I'm correct, Lily, that the state needs to use 15% of its annual apportionment to support intercity bus service. So that's in statute, right? Yeah.
This program is administered by the state, usually by the State Department of Transportation.
Okay. Yet another reason to get them into your speed dial. I want to just go off this slide deck for just a second to talk about the urbanized area formula program, the Section 5307 program. That slide fell out of the deck somehow, so I just want to mention that one. That's sort of, you know, again, sort of the same sort of theme as the program I just mentioned, smaller communities. This one supports transit capital and maintenance for areas greater than 200,000 people in size. And again, but it also, and Lily, you might have to help me kind of understand the distinction here. It also focuses on capital maintenance and operating for areas of 50,000 or more population. So there's sort of a dual urban definition here.
Yeah, the program is in both urbanized and rural areas, but
okay.
The focus of it is a little different depending on the two. So in urban areas, it funds a lot of paratransit, so on-demand service, transit service.
Okay.
Similarly in rural areas, but it's usually, it's still just a little different how it operates.
Okay, great. The funding is provided to the designated recipient in the urban area, usually the transit agency, and I think that's the point you made earlier, Lily, that at least in the urbanized program, I mean, this is where the locals directly get the funding.
The local transit agency, it doesn't go to, say, the city government.
Okay, so it would go to the transit agency. And the range of eligible activities here are pretty extensive. I mean, it can include planning and design and evaluation of transit projects, you know, other technical transportation-related studies. It can include capital investments in bus and bus-related activities and capital investments in new and existing fixed guideway systems. So, again, some resources. If sort of there's a transportation link to your new use, this may be something to look at in the context of a transportation plan. Are there any questions on the urbanized or non-urbanized transit programs before we move on to the jobs access program?
No, Charlie, I don't have anything that has come in yet.
Okay, great, thank you. So let's move on, I think I'm to 22, where we're, this is the, I guess what I call put in my notes, these are sort of the fact that DOT does have several sort of human services-oriented transit programs, and the one key one I want to mention today is the Job Access and Reverse Commute Program. Now, is the acronym actually set as JARC?
It is.
How about that? Interesting acronym. We don't have one like that here at EPA. But anyway, the JARC service is linked predominantly low-income communities to suburban job sites, and Technical assistance for this program, as you can see on the slide, is available through a number of sources. And just going on to slide 23, it's an interesting program just because it really focuses on, the ideas of linking people to jobs. And the eligibility for this program are states and public agencies. It is a competitive grant process. They, in turn, can work with subrecipients, private nonprofits, operators of services, as well as state and local governments. Again, from an area-wide brownfield planning context, the kinds of entities who are very often partners. So there may be some very interesting, opportunities to connect these partners together for this kind of use.
I'm supposed to
be it. Did someone have a question? Okay. Just shifting on to the next slide, 25. Did I lose the slide here? I did. So let's go back to slide 24. The eligible activities under the JARC program include capital, planning and operating expenses for projects that transport low-income individuals to and from job sites and for reverse commute projects. And then moving on to slide 25, the funding for this program is by formula. FTA apportions 60% of the funds among designated recipients in large urban areas.
Anyway, I have another one in there. Don't sign it.
20% of the funds go to the states for small urbanized areas, and 20% of the funds go to the states for rural and small urbans under 50,000. There is a 20% quash share permit.
Lower than another $100?
Sounds like somebody needs to make that phone.
Oh.
Yeah, thank you.
It's supposed to be part of your...
Somebody is on the line telling us about their accounting, so... Thank you. Okay. So that's the one program that I think is potentially useful to the area-wide funding grantees with respect to, getting people to and from jobs. The extent to which some of the area-wide planning activities may focus on reviving neighborhoods and sort of shoring up the housing stock, obviously you need to get people in those places to jobs, and this program may be helpful in some of that, some of those kinds of scenarios. Finally, if we go to the next slide, on slide 26, the Metropolitan Planning Organization Formula Grants, this is a real key program in the context of transportation planning. And as Connie and Lily mentioned early on, the transportation programs only work when you can get, projects into those plans that can then be helpful to the area-wide planning areas. And this program provides resources to support planning organizations. The MPO program is administered jointly, by FTA and the Federal Highways Administration. It provides funds to metropolitan planning organizations, the MPOs. It also provides funds to statewide DOTs. And again, the real main goal of this is to provide appropriate planning resources so that states and communities can make, good transportation investment decisions. The funds can be used for projects that promote economic vitality in the area. Again, certainly a key mission of the area-wide planning grantees, including projects that increase efficiency and productivity and local competitiveness. Projects that increase transportation safety and access to transportation. And an important part of this is really system integration and connectivity, making sure that systems work together as a whole, which can be really vital, or could certainly be vital for those grantees that are really promoting, manufacturing, production, office-type activities where you really need to make sure that people and goods and services can get from one place to the other as seamlessly as possible. I think certainly what's of importance, certainly of interest and importance to, to some of our goals here at EPA and with the area-wide planning grantees is that the MPO grants can be used for activities that help promote energy conservation, promote consistency between transportation improvements and state and local plan growth and economic development patterns, real key activities. And they also are used for projects that help emphasize infrastructure reuse. Again, I can't say it enough that, you know, any projects that you as area-wide planning grantees or anyone who's focusing on a reuse strategy, you know, want to include, you know, in a transportation context, well, they really need to be in the transportation plans to be eligible for federal transportation funding. So really getting in, you know, working with the planning organizations, getting into that planning process is the critical first step, you know, for area-wide planning grantees. You know, just the next slide, slide 27, you know, things to consider when evaluating, you know, if this is an option. You know, the State Departments of Transportation, the MPOs, are eligible for grants. You want to, you know, talk with them, you know, along the way. The funds are apportioned to states by a formula. These funds, in turn, are sub-allocated by the states to the MPOs. There was a 20% cost share. Lily, did you want to add anything in the context of planning and MPOs?
Nope, that sounds great.
Hey, all right. And finally, those of you who know me, know that I just can't possibly do anything like this without some pictures at the end. So I want to just give a few examples of really where transportation funding played such a critical role in the success of a reuse and brownfield redevelopment project. So I just want to run through a couple of examples. The first one is from Emeryville, California. This is an Amtrak station that was built in Emeryville. This was built on a former Chevron tank facility. And I think the Amtrak station was quite a plum for Emeryville to land. I mean, this is really the main Bay Area station. But in addition to the Amtrak station, Emeryville parlayed transportation resources into a very successful larger redevelopment effort called the first part of this Emery Station 1, which was an office complex. Emery Station 3 consists of a parking structure under 100 residential units, really worked to deal with transportation, you know, congestion issues, work to deal with parking issues, work to deal with, you know, providing the transportation infrastructure needed to serve that new office complex. Emeryville, you know, at this point in time at least, made transportation resources the centerpiece of their downtown revitalization. They basically revitalized downtown as a transit-oriented development district and did a lot of work to bring transit into the downtown. As you can see from the slide, they built a pedestrian bridge with DOT funds. They were one of the first cities to use access roads as institutional controls when they, you know, basically reinstalled a street grid over a larger contaminated area. Just a really creative use of a number of the transportation resources that we've talked about. I guess I would just say I'm sure he's not on the call, but Ignacio Dayrit, who is now with the EPA TAB Center at the Creative Center for Land Recycling in San Francisco, was the Brownfield Director of Emeryville, and I'm sure I could just say that he would be glad to answer any questions on how Emeryville connected DOT to this, and I would certainly be glad to get any questions to him, because it's really quite a success story for a comprehensive connection of transportation and brownfield revitalization strategies. If we go to slide 29, the next example I'll just mention briefly is also a very interesting one. This is from Boise, Idaho. This is an abandoned, or actually a deteriorating parking garage near the edge of downtown Boise, and transportation highway district funds were really key to the reuse here. What they did is they took out that parking garage and sort of modernized and upgraded the street grid to serve this new LEED Platinum building, which you can see in the bottom picture of this slide. Very impressive project. It is the largest LEED Platinum building between Chicago and the West Coast. significant downtown benefits, significant environmental benefits in terms of the way it was built, both in terms of how they recycled the construction waste and also the reuse efficiency of the building. It's been projected when this building is ultimately torn down, 95% of it will be able to be reused somehow. And the transportation money was key in really setting the stage for the successful development to take place. Go to slide 30. This is the Ilati Light Rail Facility in Denver, right on the border of Denver and Englewood, Colorado, the former General Iron Works plant site. And this is a major success story, really showing how FTA and FHWA can work together with a state DOT. How many acronyms can we throw into one example? And then the Regional Transportation District to really plan and fund this project. This is the this is sort of the maintenance facility and storage facility for the Denver Light Rail system. It allows the system to be expanded to the edge of Denver, and a distinctive construction. I mean, this is, I hope you can see enough detail in that picture at the bottom. This is a really innovative design, which really integrated a lot of the existing General Iron Works plant superstructure into this reuse. It was really well suited for this kind of reuse. It really allowed, much more cost-efficient cleanup to be done, and it leveraged a significant amount of money. So, again, really an interesting use of transportation funds to spur both a light rail system expansion and also, community and economic development around the site. If we go to the next slide, which will be the last example on slide 31, this is an early example of a DOT participation. This is a few years old now, but this is one of the first significant projects that used the congestion mitigation and air quality, the CMAQ program, as part of the project infrastructure. What's very interesting about this, there's been a whole chain of Montgomery Ward distribution centers across the country that have been converted. It was a brownfield site because of the asbestos and lead paint in it, and this is an interesting one, because in some ways Mother Nature was a contributing PRP, because this building had been hit by a tornado right around, I think it was in 2000, which really exacerbated the environmental issues in this building. It really turned it into a white elephant. It was a historic building. The transportation resources were critical because this was converted into a mixed-use, multimodal transit area that includes some housing. It's a combination retail office residential complex just at the edge of downtown Fort Worth, and really would not have been possible for this to be realized without the road and sidewalk infrastructure that the transportation resources provided. I don't know if you can quite tell from the bottom of that picture, one of the things that they did is they cut an opening into that building so that it's actually created interior retail and better access to the residential. So it's a pretty interesting use of a very targeted transportation project to achieve reuse. So I guess I just want to close. If you want to look at the slide 32, it has our contact information. But I guess I just want to close with just some sort of overall reality checks. I mean, obviously the transportation resources are out there, they're real, and they can really be very vital in a lot of different types of projects, and certainly in some of the project types that our grantees are pursuing. But there obviously are some reality checks and some points to consider. And I just want to reiterate some of our takeaway messages. Clearly, as we said, the communities need to work through their state MPOs, their local transportation agencies. They need to get into the planning queue if they want to access these resources. And while certainly all of our transportation friends on the line today are really, understand what we're trying to do, we do know that some MPOs, some state DOTs may not be as amenable or as brownfield friendly or as brownfield conversant as we'd like them to be. So that's something you need to think about, and you think about how to reach out to them. projects are determined by the states and the MPOs, and they need to fit within that plan, and the planning process can take a while. This is not something you're going to turn around in 6 months if you're not in the plan queue now. You really need to think about what you want to do and really get started with that. I do want to also mention, again, that DOT has reaffirmed its brownfield policy, so that's something you can take to your local agencies, state agencies, that if the site that you want to work with for your transportation project happens to be, a brownfield site, happens to have some real perceived contamination that needs to be addressed. I mean, really to reiterate the point that Connie made a little while ago, you can really use the transportation resources as part of your package to get this site ready for reuse. So I just want to mention that as well. Let us know how we can help you as you're going forward. We've certainly have worked with some great regional contacts in some places. They all have colleagues in other regions. I mean, we can really try to help facilitate the kinds of discussions that you may need to have to make some of these projects happen. Again, you can see our contact information on there. We will get you Connie's information. We didn't have a final contact when we had to put this slide together. Make sure you just let us know how we can be helpful. Just to go to the last slide before we take any remaining questions, and we have a few minutes left, your feedback is very important to us. Michael, I don't know if I'm stepping on your part of this or not here, but certainly from our perspective here, Rachel and I, we intend to do several more of these webinars, agency-specific, and anything you can tell us that can help us with our planning for those, we would really appreciate. So, Michael, I think I'll turn it over to you now.
Oh, Charlie, do you mind if I jump in real quick?
Well, I'm sorry, Lily. I'm sorry. Lily, give you the last word, and I forgot. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Oh, no, that's all right. I don't know if my contact information was in there, but Charlie can definitely get in touch with me if you have any questions. Just a couple of thoughts is that the Sustainable Communities Partnership, HUD, DOT, and EPA, we've identified regional staff in all 50 states that are tasked to work with, nonprofits and local communities that are interested in doing this kind of work, and they are ready to help figure out how to get things done. So definitely get in touch with me if you would like to get in touch with those folks that working in your state. The second one is that this was a really helpful overview, and thank you, Charlie, for putting it all together. Another resource that I think is really useful as an introduction to federal policy and sort of how to talk with your DOT about what you're trying to get done is actually published recently by Transportation for America. And it's if you just Google Transportation 101, it should be one of the first links to pop up. And it's just a helpful little no-nonsense guide to these programs in a little bit more detail.
Great.
Happy to help and make those connections for you.
Okay.
Okay, I guess this is last call for any questions that we have. If there are anybody participating on the phone line, it's now time to unmute your phone. You may press #6 if you use *6 to mute. #6 will unmute. You can ask any questions. Guys, I don't have anything that came in via text online, so.
You're that comprehensive.
Yeah.
We try.
And the people on the phone lines are not on the delay like the folks on online. But there should have been enough time passed. With that, if there's no other comments, thank the presenters for all the great information they presented today, and thanks for everybody for participating. And once again, slide 33, if you were looking for the additional links to additional resources in the feedback form. Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you, everybody.